Lord, as we have read and heard this morning from John's Gospel, one of the accounts of Jesus' appearance to his followers, really, Lord, two appearances, a week apart. Lord, we're at that time frame of the second meeting when Thomas was with them. And Lord, some of us may be like Thomas. We may need to be able to feel and see for ourselves and not just take somebody else's word for it. That's why it's so important, Lord, that we share our faith, not as somebody else, what somebody else told us, but how we've encountered the Christ. Lord, we pray that this morning, being together this morning and receiving a word from you, may strengthen us and encourage us in our discipleship, that we may be empowered as we leave here to share the good news of Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. Have you ever played the card game, I Doubt It? After doing a little research, there are several similar games with different names and numerous variations. The goal of the game is to be the first player to get rid of all of his or her cards by discarding them face down in a discard pile based on particular rules of the game, whichever rules you're playing by. Players must announce the rank, 2, 7, queen, etc., of the card that they are discarding. This may be true, or it could be a bluff if the person didn't have the necessary card to discard. If another person or another player believes that the first is bluffing, they can proclaim, "I doubt it." If they're wrong, they have to pick up the whole stack of cards. If the first player was bluffing, he or she must pick up the stack. Early in the game, when the stack is small and the stakes are low, it's relatively easy to risk bluffing or to proclaim, "I doubt it." However, when the stakes are higher, players become more cautious about professing doubt or accusing one another. When it comes to faith issues, the stakes seem high, and it is often difficult to say, "I doubt it." After all, good Christians trust God for everything in all circumstances, don't they? Don't we? But if we're honest, there are times when we all have our doubts. When is it difficult for us to believe? When do we have trouble trusting in God? Does our reasonable, educated 21st century mind find it hard to believe in a resurrected Lord? Some do. Some have those doubts. Is it difficult to trust when a loved one has died? Is there doubt when we've been diagnosed with a serious illness or lost a job? Or perhaps it is when a parent has left and we're feeling abandoned. Do we ever find ourselves wondering, where is God? We should not be too critical of ourselves. A few years ago, the Associated Press had a story that reported that even Mother Teresa had doubts. In an undated letter, she wrote these words, "I have no faith. I dare not utter the words and thoughts that crowd in my heart and make me suffer untold agony." Mother Teresa acknowledged the contradiction with her public persona, describing her ever-present smile or a mask or a cloak, as she described it, that covered everything. Some writings seem to suggest that Mother Teresa doubted God's existence. Considering the conditions that she worked, lived, and ministered in, her occasional times of questioning and doubting should not be surprising. And even the heroes of faith in the Bible were doubters sometimes too. For example, in the Old Testament, Abraham and Sarah, despite the promise from God, had a hard time trusting God and waiting for a son. In their impatience, they took matters into their own hands with devastating results. The Israelites, after they had seen God work in miraculous ways in the Exodus as they were leaving Egypt, complained about the manna in the wilderness and built an idol to worship when they found it difficult to trust and believe in God. The disciples spent 3 years with Jesus. They had seen him miraculously heal and feed the multitudes, and they had heard him prophesy about his own death and resurrection. Yet they fled from the crucifixion and hid in fear. Later, the disciples doubted the words of the women who first proclaimed the news of the resurrection. In Mark chapter 16, we read, quote, "But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by Mary Magdalene, the disciples would not believe it," end quote. After this, Jesus appeared in another form to two of the disciples as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them either, according to Luke's gospel. And a little before that in Luke, we read, "Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told of the resurrection to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them." With so many examples of doubters in the Bible, and with so many of us facing our own questions and doubts at one time or another, why do we always seem to make the disciple Thomas the bad guy? Why have we dubbed him Doubting Thomas when we could have had doubting other names in there too? He was not behaving any differently from the way the other disciples did when they first heard the news. Can we blame Thomas for wanting to see with his own eyes, for wanting to hear with his own ears, and for wanting to touch Jesus with his own hands? Wouldn't any reasonable person do the same? After all, people don't come back from the dead. It's impossible. No, Lazarus was brought back from the dead, but Jesus performed that miracle. And Jesus is dead now. So the disciples thought. If we read today's text from the Gospel of John carefully, we notice that Thomas is never identified as the bad guy in the story. Jesus never rebukes him or shames him in any way for his questions and his unbelief. Instead of scolding Thomas, Jesus meets him where he is and offers him what he needs to move forward in his faith journey. This is indeed a turning point for Thomas. Immediately, he responds to Jesus with words of worship, "My Lord and my God." We often use those two words together, Lord and God, interchangeably. But for Thomas, they meant two very different things. For him, Lord meant the human Lord of their local faith community. And he was calling Jesus that, as the Lord of that community. And he was also, when he called him God, he meant that Jesus was fully divine. He was proclaiming that Jesus was the Son of God. In this statement, Thomas was affirming that Jesus was both fully human and fully divine, something that we can't always wrap our head around. But Thomas, in that instance, recognized it. He was affirming the words that opened the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, meaning Jesus, was in the beginning with God. I imagine it's safe to say that Thomas's doubts were gone forever after he encountered the risen Christ in that upper room. But even in that moment, Jesus realized that it would not be quite so easy for them, for those who came later. For Jesus said to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." It is harder, more difficult for those of us who don't get to see with our own eyes or hear with our own ears and touch with our own hands. It becomes an act of faith. So what are we to do? What do we have to help us when our doubts overwhelm us? First and foremost, we have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to sustain us. When the resurrected Jesus first appeared to the disciples in John, when Thomas was not with them, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Before his death, Jesus had promised that the Holy Spirit would come. He said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. And you know him because he abides with you and he will be in you." A second thing that can help us when we doubt is remembering the past. Remembering times when God has delivered us in the past can help us to persevere in the midst of present difficulties. The people of Israel knew this, and many of the Psalms were their stories of deliverance that were sung and told in services of remembrance and thanksgiving. Many of our hymns serve that purpose for us. We sing, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come." We need to think about a time or times in our lives when God has been with us, delivering us through or from a difficult situation. And then let the encouragement of that memory serve as a source of strength and comfort for us in our times of doubt and discouragement. And finally, we need to remember the promise of the future. Amidst severe persecution, John wrote a letter to the early church. We know it as the Book of Revelation. When he wrote this book, John was not in a place of leadership in the church or government. He was an exile on the island of Patmos. He was writing from the margins of society. He identified himself as your brother who shares with you in Jesus the persecution of the kingdom and the patient endurance. In the introduction to that book, he writes, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." This greeting is from the God of the past, the present, and the future. Sometimes remembering that what we are currently experiencing is not the end of the story can help carry us through a difficult time. May it be so for us as we work on setting aside our doubts and learn to trust and believe this Easter season. Let's pray together. Lord, we must confess that at times we do have doubts and questions and even disbelief. Sometimes we ask, "Where are you?" when we feel that we don't feel your presence especially close. But Lord, through this encounter with Christ and Thomas and the disciples, we thank you that we have this promise that Jesus will be with us. We have the promise and the gift of the Holy Spirit to encourage us, to point the way, to pull us at times and to push us at others, but to be with us and accompany us. And we thank you for that Spirit. And Lord, we pray that having been together this morning, that we may be strengthened now, that your Spirit may go with us as we carry the good news of the empty tomb. We carry the good news of the living Christ to those who need it. The light of Easter day is not dimmed, but we need to share that light to those who are living in darkness, that they too may receive the light of the message of Easter. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is alive and walking and talking among us. We ask this all in his name. Amen.